So as you all may know by now, today is the International Day of Prayer, which is a day dedicated to praying for the persecuted church, for our brothers and sisters all around the world who are being beaten, who are being attacked, thrown into prison for just believing in Jesus Christ and living out their faith. Earlier during the Sunday school today, we watched many videos. We heard about the stories of many countries such as North Korea, Iraq, Kenya, and the situations that these Christians are in. And we can only wonder, like, why is there persecution that is happening in this world? And believe it or not, whether you see it in the same light or not, we also experience persecution in our personal lives and here in the United States. Sure, it may not be as life-threatening, such as our brothers and sisters around the world. We're not threatened with our lives or threatened with being beaten or thrown in prison for being a Christian here in the U.S. But nonetheless, we know that there are still persecutions to us. Like, for example, I know that we may feel fearful for being vocal about like what we believe. We wouldn't necessarily openly talk to our friends in school or at work that the fact that we're a Christian, because we're afraid about what those people will say to us. We're afraid about how they will treat us, and maybe they'll make fun of us, or maybe they'll just give us a silent treatment or leave us alone. Like, underlying, there is this fear of being persecuted. Even though, once again, it may not be as great as the brothers and sisters all around the world. But, so the question is, like, why is there persecution? In Scripture, it says, for 2 Timothy 3:12, "Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." If you are a follower of Christ, if you have that desire to live for him, the Bible promises that there will be persecution. And Jesus even says in John 15, verse 20, "If they persecute me, they will also persecute you." So in a sense, when the world is persecuting you, it's not because necessarily that they hate you. It's because they hate Jesus. So there is persecution. And last year, during the sermon that we had talked about, was about how should we respond to this persecution. And because sometimes we just don't know what to do when we experience these types of situations. We're in so much fear from what other people may do to us for being a Christian. But I think the proper way of understanding our persecution and how to respond to it, we need to understand something first. And that is the fact that there is a spiritual war that's going on. There's a spiritual war. Ooh, what's this? Is it a war that I can see that's going on? Is there weapons? Is there shooting? Is there guns? Like, we like watching action movies and such. But you see, the spiritual warfare that is going on in our lives is a lot more serious than we think. And we may not be aware of this spiritual warfare. And that can be a problem. Because if we're not aware that we are in the midst of a war, then, you know, chances are we might be losing that war, right? So let's talk about spiritual warfare, and let's talk about how that can be able to affect our understanding of why persecution happens and how we should respond to persecution. So if you have your Bibles, let's take it out. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to read from verses 10 to 20. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Ephesus. And keep in mind that as he is writing this letter to them, he is in prison. Okay, starting from verse 10. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all saints. And also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you in your word, we ask that you would open our eyes, help us to see and teach us, Lord, what you want us to learn from this passage. We know that as a follower of you, as a follower and as a disciple, as a child of you, Lord, we will experience persecution whether we want to or not, Lord. It is inevitable, and we may be fearful. We may not know what to do. We may just sometimes be so timid in our faith. Father, I pray that your word will lift us up. I pray that your word will show us how we can be able to understand that we're in the midst of a spiritual warfare and how we can be able to stand firm and overcome that spiritual war. Father, please teach us. We just trust in you with your word. We lift these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So our main question that we're going to ask today about this passage is this. How can we successfully stand firm during a spiritual warfare? How can we successfully stand firm during a spiritual warfare? You know, because during a war, if we don't know what's going on, you know, we can easily be beaten. We can easily fall down. But how can we stand firm? And there's going to be three things that we're going to see from this passage. And here is the first way. So number one, we need to know who our enemy is. And that is Satan. So number one, we need to know who is our enemy. Satan. I guess it makes sense. If you're in the midst of the war and you don't know who is your enemy, you don't know who you're fighting against, then how can you win this war? How do you know who's on your side and who's not? When I was in elementary school, I was part of this Christian Brigade program. So it's almost like a Christian Boy Scouts type of thing. And we were on this retreat in the middle of the woods playing capture the flag at night. So imagine a bunch of elementary schoolers running around in the woods playing capture the flag. So in case you don't know, capture the flag is a game where the objective is you try to sneak into the other side's territory, grab their flag, and bring it back to your side without getting tagged by the other team. Okay? So I was just on my side, and I knew where the flag is, because I hid the flag. I hid it up in some tree there. And then all of a sudden, there's this little kid who came up to me, and he was like, "Hey, where did we hide the flag?" I was like, "Okay, don't tell anyone, but I hid it right over there." And then as soon as I said that, the kid ran over, grabbed the flag, and then started running away back to the other side, getting a score. So apparently, the kid was on the other team. I didn't even know that he was the enemy, in a sense. So this goes to show how it is important to know who is the enemy. So in the midst of a spiritual warfare that we're experiencing in our life, who is that enemy? And like I said, it is Satan. Let us read from verse 10 again. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." And then right here, first focusing on verse 12. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." So our enemy is not against the physical elements. It's not against flesh and blood. "But against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." So here, scripture tells us that our enemy is these authorities in the heavenly realms, in the powers of darkness. So in a sense, Satan and his demons. So we're talking about the persecuted church today. So picture one of the Christians that we learned about during Sunday school. And let's say that they're experiencing persecution. Let's talk about Suda, the video that we watched. He was coming to India, and he was sharing the gospel of in this village, and then all of a sudden, he's being beaten. If he thinks that amidst this persecution, which is a form of spiritual warfare, that his enemy are those people who are beating him, then he is losing sight of who the real enemy is, which is Satan. See, what is Satan's purpose in this spiritual war, especially as he sends his demons out to do his work? You know, ultimately, Satan doesn't want us to grow closer to God. Satan doesn't want us to go and share the gospel to other people. He doesn't want people to give authority or to turn to God. Because in a sense, he is prideful, he is selfish. He wants people to turn away from God and to turn to him. So Satan will do anything, and that includes persecution of any sort, to try to get people to turn away from God. So if those persecuted Christians, if they only see that their enemy is just the persecutors, the humans, the flesh and the blood, then they're losing sight of what Satan is trying to do to them. And as I showed in the illustration, we know how bad it can be when we do not know who our enemy is. And one of the things that we may be wondering is, you know, in all these other countries, they're being beaten, they're being thrown in prison, like they're having their lives threatened. How come Satan is doing those things to those Christians, but not doing them to us here in the United States? Well, I think Satan has different tactics. You know, right here in our in America, we struggle with our own types of things, like materialism, different types of temptations, lust, sexual immorality. You know, Satan can use those things to accomplish the same purpose, which is, once again, to turn us away from God and turn to him. If he can be able to accomplish that purpose by through those sins, then why does he have to go as far as like to threaten our lives? And so we can see how important it is to identify our enemy, which in this case is Satan, and how to be able to respond to that. Now, a lot of people may be thinking, no, we're humans. We've evolved so far away from this point of believing in the myths of the Bible. Like, I mean, spiritual warfare, like angels and demons fighting each other, what is this? But you see, like that is exactly what Satan wants you to think. He's sitting there in the background, clapping his hands. He's like, very good, very good. That's right. We've evolved to the point, we don't even realize what Satan is actually trying to do. So in persecution, we are going to be experiencing this form of spiritual warfare. So that's the first point, once again. We need to know who our enemy is, and that is Satan. But I want you to realize that there is this whole seriousness to this spiritual warfare. Look at the wording in verse 12 again. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, the cosmic powers of this present darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil. So this word wrestle, okay, in Greek is pale. And when the Ephesians, as they're reading this word, when they hear the word wrestle, they have an idea of what wrestling is. Because in ancient Greek, during the Olympics there, they have a sport that's called wrestling. Just like how when I talk about football, you know, we all have this imagery of American football and Super Bowl Sunday and all that. So what is the wrestling, this idea of wrestling to the Ephesians or to the Greeks in general? Now, it's not our idea of like a, you know, WWE, World Wrestling Entertainment, John Cena, and all that. It's not arm wrestling or anything. But like, see, in ancient Greek Olympics, people, when they wrestle like completely naked. And sometimes this wrestling is to the point of death. Yes, death. So you can see all the commitments and all the training that it needs for this type of wrestling. So when the Ephesians are reading this passage that Paul writes to them, For our we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and the powers of this darkness. They realize that this spiritual warfare is a very serious thing. It's like a life and death consequence. And I want us to understand the seriousness of the spiritual warfare that we are in. I think we as Christians, we live kind of too comfortably. We live in a way as if we don't even see that there's a spiritual war going on. I don't want us to be lazy Christians. I want us to be Christians who will stand up, who will always desire God and realize what Satan is trying to do through persecutions, through our own personal temptations and personal sins, to pull us away from him. No, that shows how great this fight is. We need to have this great desire for God. We need to know his word. We need to drive hard towards him and not live our lives just very comfortably as if there is no war going on. So number one, once again, for how can we successfully stand firm during spiritual warfare? We need to know who our enemy is, and that is Satan. And I guess for the second point here, in addition to knowing who our enemy is, I think this passage will teach us another thing. And here's number two. We need to know who our commander is, and that would be God. We need to know who our commander is, God. Once again, it makes sense. We're in the midst of a war. If we don't know who is our commander, if we don't know who's the general, who's the person who is leading us to give us orders, to tell us the plan, to equip us, to strengthen us, then there's going to be chaos. We don't have a plan to be able to defeat the enemy. That's why we need to look to the commander, and that is God. Let's read from verse 10 again. Finally, be strong in the Lord, not in yourself, not in anything else, but the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. And then look at verse 13, essentially saying the same thing. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, having done all to stand firm. So be strengthened in the Lord. This word, to be strengthened, it can be used in a passive voice, as in, we need to allow God to strengthen us. Or if it's talking about in the middle voice, we need to strengthen ourselves in God. So knowing our commander, knowing who is in charge, who is our leader, we can be able to get strength from him. And with that strength, we can be able to take up the armor of God. You know, as we have read in this, the passage, you know, with the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, all these pieces of armor. So, out of all of my favorite superheroes in the Avengers, I think my favorite one would be Iron Man. You know, because you know, Tony Stark, he's really rich, okay? And he has enough money to be able to build this Iron Man suit. But this Iron Man suit is, you know, he can't put it on himself. You know, he needs to go down, and there are all, a bunch of these robotic arms who can bring all these different pieces and help him put them on his body and lock them into place. And then his whole armor is complete, and he can be able to go out and fight the bad guys and save the world. But you see, this whole armor is kind of useless without something important. So, you know, right on his chest, there's a little bit, this is a circular thing. This is the arc reactor. And the arc reactor, you know, it glows blue. It's basically the power source, okay? And this power source goes into the center of the chest and it powers the whole suit. So in a sense, this whole armor, the whole Iron Man suit is basically useless. You know, he can't shoot lasers, he can't fly, he can't do anything with the suit without the arc reactor, the power source that's there. So likewise, when we take up the armor of God, the whole armor of God is kind of useless without something important. And that thing, that the power source for that armor is the strength of God. So that's why it's so important that when Paul says here in verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord in the strength of his might. It's only through God's strength that we can be able to have the strength to take up the armor, to be able to be equipped in the spiritual battle and overcome Satan's attacks. Let's briefly talk about all the different parts of the armor of God. So first, we have the belt of truth, right? The belt of truth, what does the belt do? It holds stuff together, it holds your pants up. And just like how truth holds everything together, without truth, without the belt, your pants are going to fall down. You have the breastplate of righteousness, righteousness, which is holiness, which is purity, which is covering like this chest area here. Okay, it protects all your vital organs. You have the shoes of readiness. What are those? The shoes of readiness, which is the gospel of peace. You know, in the Roman centurions, you know, they have these shoes with all these different nails or spikes on it. And these shoes is what is needed to be able to stand firm down, to be able to stand their ground. So it's with these shoes that you can have this readiness to present the gospel to like all the nations. You have the shield of faith, and like it's not like this stinky small little shield, or it's not even like a Captain America shield. The Roman armies had these shields that are made of leather, okay, and it's about 2.5 feet wide and 4 feet tall. Okay, so almost it can be able to cover your whole body, and it's leather because it can be able to, it's flame retardant. So any arrows that the enemy shoots that are burning, it can be able to stop those. You have the helmet of salvation. The helmet protects your head, and so we need to be reminded about our salvation. You know, Satan will try to plant thoughts in our minds and make us doubt about our identity in Christ. So this helmet, knowing about our salvation, protects our mind. And then you have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know, Satan, or Jesus, when he was in the wilderness after his baptism, Satan was tempting him, and Jesus used the sword of the Spirit. He used God's word. He quoted scripture to fight against the temptations that Satan was trying to bring about to him. So for all these different pieces and parts of the armor of God, which, once again, comes from the commander, comes from God, because we need that from God to fight this war, everything is important, but everything is useless without God himself. There is no truth, there is no righteousness, there's no gospel of peace, there's no faith, there's no salvation, there is no word of God without God himself, without the strength from God, without that power source. And actually, Paul, in the book of Romans, actually says this, Romans 13:14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. So he's almost equating putting on the full armor of God as in putting on Jesus Christ in your life. If we are in the midst of a spiritual warfare and we know what Satan is trying to do, isn't it great to know that God is the one who provides us with everything, knowing our commander? He equips us. He gives us what we need to fight in this battle. He gives us his strength. We can't fight this strength alone. We can't fight this battle alone without God's strength. So while applying this to the persecuted church, if the Christians, our brothers and sisters around the world, are being persecuted, they're being beaten, thrown into jail, imagine what will happen if they don't ask God for their strength. Can they be able to make it? Remember with Suta in that video that we watched, do you think he would have returned back to the village to continue to share the gospel with the people there after he had been beaten and warned not to come back? No, he can be able to go back there because God had provided him with the strength to do so. God had equipped him. We can't fight the spiritual war by ourselves. God can be able to provide that. So let's review so far what we talked about. So we are answering the question of how can we successfully stand firm during spiritual warfare? So number one was the fact that we need to know who our enemy is, which is Satan. And then number two, as we talked about, we need to know who our commander is, which is God. But I believe there's one more thing here that is important for us to keep in mind to be successful in standing firm. Number three, we need to communicate with the commander in prayer. We need to communicate with the commander through prayer. So what good is it of knowing who our commander is if we don't talk with him at all? Oh yeah, I know you're the leader of our army, but I'm not going to ask you for instructions. I'm not going to ask you for help. How can we survive? How can we be successful in the spiritual war? No, the commander is the one who provides for us, as we had talked about. Let us jump down to verse 18. Actually, let's start from verse 17 here. Still talking about the armor of God. Paul says this: "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance and making supplication for all the saints." So how do we communicate with the commander or with God? Through prayer. And I want to ask us, how is our prayer life? Do we talk with God every day? And, you know, I mean, today is the International Day of Prayer. We're supposed to be praying for our brothers and sisters. In verse 18, Paul says to keep alert with the perseverance, with all perseverance, making supplications for all the saints. So all the saints, all of our brothers and sisters around the world, in the spiritual warfare, we shouldn't just be praying on for ourselves. Yes, we are going through the same battle, but we as a whole army should be praying for one another, whether we know each other personally, whether there are brothers and sisters in a different country. The command here is to pray. And the word pray, in verse 18, praying at all times, is not the main verb in the sentence. That's why I started us with verse 17. The main verb is actually to take. You know, we have to take the helmet of salvation, take the sword of spirit, take up the whole armor of God. Take is the main verb, but praying is modifying that verb. So in a sense, as we take up the whole armor of God and as we take up the different individual pieces, we are supposed to do so while praying. Praying is important and necessary. Hebrews 13:3, "Remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body." 1 Corinthians 12:26, "If one member suffers, we all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together." So the VOM, the Voice of the Martyrs, another organization that supports these persecuted Christians, like, they tell us that when they go and visit these persecuted Christians and ask them how Christians around the world can be able to help them, these persecuted Christians, they don't ask for money, they don't ask for resources. They said that the most important thing that we can do for them is to pray for them. They recognize the power of prayer, they recognize it's the power in to be able to overcome and fight in this spiritual war. You know, once again, Paul himself was in chains. He was in prison as he was writing this letter. Read verse 19. "And," I guess the implication, "and pray also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare boldly as I ought to speak." So Paul even asked for the Ephesians to pray for him, and even particularly to proclaim the gospel. You know, we've been talking about going on this missions trip next summer to Mexico. And the purpose of going on a mission trip, yeah, we're going to be bringing the gospel to people in Mexico, to those who need to hear it. And this certain act of bringing the gospel is what Satan does not want us to do. So you can imagine that if we're going to be going on this mission trip, we have to admit that there's going to be spiritual warfare. Satan will try to stop us. Maybe he'll plant doubts in our mind whether he wants us to go or not. Or maybe things will happen during the mission trip. I'm not saying these things to scare you, but just to help us realize the seriousness and importance of this, and how it is important for us to pray for the gospel to be boldly presented. This is the one prayer request that the Apostle Paul gives to the Ephesians. So we can see how prayer is important. So to review everything that we have talked about and learned about today, you know, we first talked about how we will experience persecution in our lifetime for being a Christian. Persecution is a form of spiritual warfare that's happening to us. So how can we be successful in standing firm in during the spiritual warfare? So this passage has taught us three things. So number one, we need to know who our enemy is, which is Satan. Knowing our enemy and knowing his plan, knowing his purpose, will prepare us to know how to respond. Number two, we need to know who our commander is, which is God. Knowing our commander, God who strengthens us, who equips us and provides us and gives us the plan of action, we can be able to be successful. And finally, amidst all of this, number three, we need to communicate with the commander, not just know him. Communicate with him through prayer. And this is what this whole day of the International Day of Prayer is about. Praying for one another, all those who are our fellow brothers and sisters fighting in this army. Praying for the gospel to be spread out. Without prayer, we are already losing this war. So it is my appeal to you, for all of us, that we need to stick together, that we need to become serious Christians and not become so comfortable with the lifestyle that we are in. Let us join together to pray for one another. Let us join together and be reminded about who our enemy is, be reminded about who God is, and let's point each other towards God. We cannot fight the spiritual battle alone. That's why God gave us the church. God gave us one another. And most of all, God gave us himself to strengthen all of us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and for teaching us about the spiritual warfare that is happening in our lives. If we hadn't realized it before, I pray that you will help us feel to remember what is going on and help us turn to you, Lord. As we go through our own personal struggles and temptations and sins, and maybe even being persecuted by our friends, Father, I ask that you would also remind us about the persecution that our brothers and sisters in many other different countries that are going through similar things, except more on a deeper and more severe level. Lord, they need our prayers. They need your strength. Lord, we pray that these persecuted Christians will not fall in their faith. May they stand firm and not give in to what Satan wants them to do. May they also pray for the persecutors, the ones who are beating them and putting them into jail. Once again, as we've learned, our struggle is not against the flesh and blood. It's not against the people, but it's against Satan. So the persecutors aren't the one to blame. We desire for all people in this world to come to a saving faith and knowledge of you, especially since we know ourselves that you are the true and living God. You created everything. You are more powerful than anything in this world. And if you are for us, then who can be against us? Lord, we really need you. And we ask that you will continue to encourage us and strengthen us as we continue to live up our life, as we continue to worship you. And there's no challenges can be able to overcome us, Lord, if we have you. We want to pray and lift up all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.